Tell me, how do you manage your passwords?
This is Stephen Venn calling from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. Unfortunately, I happen to be one of those crazy people that uses the same password for everything.
Hi, my name is Lily. I'm answering the question about passwords. I use a password manager called PasswordBox that works on my computer and my phone, so I always have my info when I need it.
It's Craig in Calgary. Passwords are the bane of my existence. When the website asks for my password, I click the forgot your password? Yes, I forgot my password.
Yes, passwords can be tricky. Over the years on Spark, we've looked at several attempts to replace the computer password with something easier and more secure. Well, here's a new one. Researchers at Carleton University in Ottawa recently suggested that we could use stories to log into our computers. That's right, stories. For more on this, I'm joined by Spark producer Dan Meisner, a self-professed password management geek. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Nora.
Seriously, Dan, we're talking about passwords again?
We are talking about passwords again, but I promise this is not just for authentication enthusiasts such as myself. I want to tell you about using stories instead of passwords because it also touches on a lot of big questions in computer science today, and it actually has a lot to do with some of the other stories that are on today's show, like your interview with Aral Balkan, which is coming up.
And besides, who hasn't struggled with passwords in their lives?
Exactly.
So logging in with stories like username Nora Young, password once upon a time there were three little pigs?
Well, not exactly, but you're sort of on the right track here.
So the idea of a narrative authentication is authentication through stories or narrative.
This is Anil Somayaji. He's a computer science prof at Carleton, and he's one of the co-authors of a position paper titled Toward Narrative Authentication. I have a copy of it right here, Nora. And the basic idea in the paper is that human beings are not very good at remembering long, complicated computer passwords. I'm certainly not. Mm. But what we are really good at is remembering stories.
Oh, I see. So why not use stories instead?
Exactly. And Anil told me that the inspiration for this research comes from the ways that we prove our identities in real life. So for instance, you and I, we're sitting in the same room right now, so I can tell with some degree of certainty that you are in fact Nora Young.
And I'm pretty sure that you're Dan Meisner.
I am. But here's the thing. What if we're not in the same room?
Let's say you get a text message from someone who says that they're a good friend of yours, but it's coming from an unknown number and you haven't talked to them in a while. So how would you identify them? And chances are you would probably make references to stories that you both have in common, stories based upon your past experiences, stories based upon maybe movies you both like or something. And the idea of narrative authentication for computers is, could we make computers identify people in a similar fashion?
Huh. That's certainly an interesting idea, but how would that actually work? How do I use a story to prove I'm me?
Well, there are a couple different ways that it could work, but let's walk through a really, really basic example, okay? Nora, I want you to think about the home that you grew up in.
Okay.
Okay? And imagine a specific room in that home. Are you thinking of a room?
My teenage bedroom, yeah.
Okay, so maybe there's some furniture in there, a poster on the wall, you remember the color of the carpet, mm-hmm. You know, something like that. You're there in your head?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one way that a narrative authentication system could work is by training the computer to understand your teenage bedroom and the objects inside it. And if you wanted to log in, you might have to match up those objects with their correct place in the room. And maybe, Nora, there are some decoy objects that never really existed in your teenage bedroom just to throw off somebody who is pretending to be you. So you could use a place, or you could use something that happened in that place, or something with more of a narrative sequence, you know, the events that happened on an important day in your life. But whatever you use, it should be both interesting and private.
That's probably the big insight that we have. Authenticate using interesting things that are private. You need the interesting to make it memorable, and you need the private stuff to make sure other people don't grab it.
We already kind of see this type of thing online with security questions, you know, like what was the first name of your mother's youngest sibling? What was your high school mascot?
Right. And as Anil told me,
you're already authenticating with stories today. They're just really bad ones.
Anil and his co-authors imagine computer systems that have a much deeper understanding of what makes a story, that stories have a sequential order of events, and they have characters, and they take place at specific times in specific places. And in order to demonstrate this idea, they actually built kind of a prototype, a basic narrative authentication system to go along with this position paper they've published.
Hmm.
And it looks and it acts an awful lot like one of those those text adventure computer games from the 70s or 80s. I don't know if you ever played Zork.
Sorry, no.
So it's sort of a kind of a choose-your-own-adventure text game.
Okay.
So in order to log in, you have to play through the game and stack a certain set of objects on top of each other in exactly the right order. And admittedly, it is a bit clunky and it requires quite a bit of typing to complete the actions in the right order. But this does get the idea across of using a narrative story to log in rather than a password.
But I have to say, Dan, this sounds like an awful lot of work just to log in. I mean, not to mention all the time it would take to train a computer to understand your stories.
Well, I asked Anil about that and he agrees with you.
I don't see that sort of system getting, you know, wide adoption, but it's a start.
It is a start. And eventually, Anil says, you might not have to do any work at all to train a computer to understand your stories. There's an approach that they call computer-inferred narratives, where the computer actually builds the stories for you based on your behavior. So you could have a tracking program that monitors the things that you post to Facebook or where you check in on a service like Foursquare, and then it could use that information to infer a story about your life.
Computers today have huge amounts of knowledge about our activities, our behaviors, our interests and stuff. Like, my personal computer knows a lot about who I am, my habits. Why can't it use that to authenticate me?
You know, earlier in the show, I talked to Pete Nowak about the explosion of self-tracking technology, especially in fitness. And you can really imagine that type of data being incorporated into a system like this.
Right. And beyond fitness, Anil says this kind of tracking is everywhere.
In fact, systems are being built very actively to build up profiles of people. I mean, from intelligence agencies to advertising agencies, you know, whatever, they're all doing this today on a one-on-one basis.
Now, the challenge from a computer science point of view is going through all of that personal data and using it to build meaningful narratives.
And not just meaningful narratives, but interesting narratives,
right? Exactly.
Right? Because if the stories a computer infers are boring, most of my stories, you're likely not going to remember them.
Right. You're looking for the outliers. You're looking for the interesting or novel things that you do. But the big research question is, can you analyze somebody's credit card statement and then their Foursquare check-ins and then their Facebook activity and put all of that together to correctly infer that, for instance, they went on vacation and build a story around that? So personally, that's why I find narrative authentication so interesting. Not that it necessarily represents an immediate replacement for good old-fashioned passwords, but that it does touch on so many of these interesting questions in computer science right now. Things like natural language processing, pulling meaningful data out of human stories, big data, artificial intelligence, all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff, Dan, and not just for authentication enthusiasts. Thanks for telling us about it.
You're welcome.
Dan Meisner is a producer on Spark. As Dan mentioned, most of us won't be using narrative authentication anytime soon. So in the meantime, we have tips on creating stronger, safer passwords up at the Spark website. No need to wait for breakthroughs in artificial intelligence. These are tips you can use today for more secure passwords. Just go to cbc.ca/spark and look for Solving the Password Problem.